form.
Gentlemen, this is the second introduction, very briefly, because we did start, and down to my own fault and communication problems, we thought the show was off, but it's back on. Anyway, so I'll give you a very quick update. I've got Philip Anthony Bevington on with me this evening. We're discussing the big elephant in the room. Tony's son, who was 32 years old, had two COVID vaccines and collapsed on his father's lap and died. Tony is now starting at his story, so there we are. I'm gonna let you carry on, Tony. So you were saying he had his first
AstraZeneca vaccines, interestingly enough.
Right.
The British government pulled the AstraZeneca vaccine about a month after his last one, saying that it was dangerous for young people, and we have seen a number of young sports people dying on a recurring situation. It happens a lot, but the government, it sort of all spread about this, but what really got up my nose was that the government said, oh, but it was a success, far more people lived than died. Now That kind of really irritated me, because being my son was one of those that died. I was then told, that's collateral damage, which even is more annoying.
How soon after your son died did you realise, hang on a minute, this is going back to the vaccine? You believe the vaccine?
It took me 6 months, because, hell, I'd been through the most terrible experience. It took me and my daughter a long time to get over the trauma. We watched him die in the room just to my left here. We watched him die. And that's pretty awful for anyone to have to experience. And it took me 6 months. Of course, within that 6 months, I discovered that it's too late for me now to query the pathologist's post-mortem report. If I want to query it now, I've got to spend a lot of money on a judicial review. It's typical of the way these systems work. They tie you up in legalities and costs, and getting justice is nearly impossible. Interestingly, this isn't just a UK situation. France have actually banned people talking about it. Now, you're not allowed to talk about the vaccine. Germany have said that the pandemic was a false pandemic and it never existed, and all the stuff was done falsely. There's a whole number of doctors that I've encountered now who are totally ostracized by the medical profession, that are saying that the medical profession behaved unethically. They didn't talk about the risks, for example. When I went for my vaccine, they're supposed to tell me, now the risks are this. Never did. So technically, they've behaved unethically. I've got a friend who believes that the medical profession in the UK have broken just about every law in the Nuremberg Code.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the government stoutly defend the position, as they would do, as they have done in all the other scandal cases. They cover up, they hide, they lie, they prevaricate, and they delay. And it's the delay tactic we're on at the moment. It's really hard to get any sort of movement out of them at all. There's one MP, Andrew Bridgen, who's fighting a little bit, but when he stands up in the House of Commons and talks, there's maybe five MPs there listening to him, so that's a waste of time. The three doctors that I'm in touch with, one is Cornish, David Cartland. I've met him, he's terrific. There's a very well-known YouTube doctor, Dr. Campbell, and then there's an interesting young lady who's very well qualified, Dr. Claire Craig. But there isn't a huge number of doctors because they're terrified of being struck off, or losing their jobs, and it's really very hard for them to cope financially. But it isn't just the UK thing. It's a worldwide thing.
Yeah, it's universal.
And it's being covered up universally.
And it's quite frightening. I don't tend to post too much stuff these days about this because, like many others out there that regret taking it, I didn't take it, but I've got family members that did. And I hope to God that they had a placebo, or they're just going to be one of the lucky ones. Because I've never in my lifetime seen so many sudden deaths. And other people will say, oh, this has always happened. Healthy people have suddenly dropped dead of a heart attack. Yeah, occasionally, but not to the extent that we've been seeing the last couple of years.
Well, my son died of embolism, ischemic heart disease.
Right.
And thrombosis. And the pathologist called that natural causes in a 32-year-old
young male.
I'd love to try and catch him out because we've seen a number of reports of people, undertakers, who have found massive amounts of clots. And that's what an embolism, it's a clot. Now, I could tell you that he lay there on the floor, they pumped three lots of adrenaline into him, they did CPR for an hour, and they never got a twitch. Tells me that the clots had got close to his heart and blocked it and stopped his heart functioning at all. I'm after justice. I'm happy that lots of people have got through COVID, and apart from the children who've been mentally affected, we seem to have got off fairly well. But there's a small amount of people who have died because of the vaccine, and we are being denied justice because the government are terrified that, in fact, they have a yellow card declaration. You declare it, they don't say, well, we'll pay you compensation. They say, we will give you a certain amount of money for inconvenience.
Well, I know when I was looking into vaccines, because I haven't had, my son hasn't had any vaccines. And when I was really looking into this several years ago, you know, the UK government HMRC page shows that you can get up to £250,000 compensation for any vaccine damage, but it's got to be done before the child is 2 years old. There's all these clauses and stuff like that. And I should imagine, really, lots of people aren't putting the dots together, are they? Like you said, it took you up to 6 months or so to think, hang on a minute, how did this happen?
Yes, I've been incredibly traumatized. But there's so many people. I'm just one of, I think, about 1,600 people. We're hoping to take the government to court, but it costs money. You've got to get the correct information too. And when pathologists are refusing to change their post-mortem results or even discuss it, I emailed the pathologist in Truro and he hasn't answered. So, you know, you're banging your head against a brick wall. It's very typical of what people with money do to people who haven't got money. They delay them with barriers and obstructions, and you've got to do this, you've got to do that before I'll consider what you've got to say. So there are all these barriers that you've got to cross. I discovered that I dealt with my son's death. He left £3.23, so I didn't exactly think I needed to spend £500 on a solicitor, but to claim for his death, I'm going to have to spend £500 on a letter of administration, and that's going to take 6 months.
That's disgusting.
You know, so, and it,
yeah, they're always going to make it so that we can't. Delay us. Yeah, yeah. And like you said, unfortunately, the Pope is too late now, 6 months on to, well, not 6 months on, but when you realise it's too late to say, well, let's have a post-mortem and see what you find. When
well,
you know, you know.
I've had a post-mortem. Yeah, it was extremely distressing because they even give the weight of his brain and things like that. It's very distressing. And they do say, to be fair to them, on the form, this is a very distressing document. And it is. It's extraordinarily distressing. It's just that I used to be an ambulance driver attendant in London. I've seen a lot of death. And I'm fairly hardened to it. So because I'm talking to you, I'm not crying, but I cry a lot.
Oh, bless you. Your children should never go before you, should they?
No, they shouldn't, but especially not like this, which was awful. It was a really unpleasant way to die for him.
Yeah, yeah. And when, I don't like asking too many personal questions on this, but like with the post-mortem, did it show like what lots of us have seen on post-mortems that have supposedly been carried out by victims of the COVID jab? Oh, but be careful, we're streaming on YouTube, actually. And I'll say that word, it'll be deleted straight away. But I've seen, like, the images of the clots and the way the blood is and stuff like that.
Never mentioned, they just said he had clots, he had ischemic heart disease, and he had thrombosis. They didn't, as far as I'm aware, they should have done platelet tests to see the protein spikes in his blood. I don't think they did that. So there are omissions, but I can't challenge this anymore because too much time has passed.
Right. So, it's getting justice for those that have suffered. And I mean, people are ignorant if they can't see what has been happening. I mean, for those that haven't died, I mean, I've seen horrendous videos of people that have reacted straight away. And there's a lady in America, I think her videos have gone viral. She, she hasn't been able to speak or... You know, it's just tragic, tragic stuff. And I know lots of people at work that say, oh, I wouldn't have another one. And I've seen it at work. I've seen when, that nurse has come in and I've had to leave because I totally disagree with it, obviously. And one of them has had a stroke in the night and the other one has had a seizure the next day. Well, you could say they're elderly, it's going to happen. But too much coincidence, I think, and knowing what I know... And I was fortunate because I think over the years I've done my research on vaccine and I feel for people because I think everybody went to have it because one, they thought that it would help them, save them. And secondly, because life would get back to normal if everybody was jabbed.
I think a lot more was going on behind the scenes than we'll ever really know, possibly ever really know, because there's been a lot of talk about this was just a trial error to see if they could control us. And let's face it, they scared the living daylights out of the population.
Well, they did. And I remember having a conversation with you, Phil, when we were in those particular times and when we were meeting at people's houses and we were like the resistance out and about when we shouldn't have been having little conversations, what we can do. And I can remember when you told me you had your jab and I said, no, you haven't. And you said, well... Yeah, you said, I'm vulnerable, I'm at that age. And I can remember thinking then, oh, my God. But then, like so many, you do what you do because you think you were being told, you're protecting others, blah, 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 and you feel that it's in your best interest.
I'm 84 now, and I was a paramedic in London, so I've been brought up in a medical family.
Yeah.
And I was taught to respect the medical profession and to believe everything they said to me. I'm afraid now I don't trust the doctors an inch. I think the NHS has gone to hell. And the pharmaceutical industry is pulling the strings.
Definitely. We need sick people for them to make an income. Everything is like, no preventative drugs, are they? They're all like to cure the symptoms, not what the actual problem is.
And I think also we're run by a corrupt government who saw COVID as a chance to make a killing. And they made a killing at our expense.
They did, they did. And all of these people, there were so many, they were murdered in the care homes because they weren't given a chance. It's just like, oh, we've got this, you're going to die, let's put you on end-of-life care. You know, and I know it's a real strange one because obviously I worked in the hospitals and where I worked, it was quiet and I had no work for a couple of weeks. But it was the care homes that really struggled with it because the hospitals were putting these people in care homes that did have some flu virus. Now, you see, I'm still in the realms of, can you catch a virus? I don't know, because I sit in the middle of lots of things. I can see things from both points of view. Do viruses exist and blah, blah, blah. But it's well known in the home that I worked at, it was terrible. They had so many people that died and got poorly. But then if they didn't know about COVID, would that just have been your yearly flu?
If you look into it, some of the pharmaceutical companies have had patents for COVID vaccines for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Which kind of stinks in my book. It makes me extraordinarily suspicious. And him dying and everything, I've become extremely suspicious. I don't trust the government, whatever they are, in any form whatsoever. We've been sold down the river. And we are continuing to be sold down the river. I'm quite sure that what I'm saying will really annoy some people.
No, I think they've got to see it. They've got to see it. They can't
they're
just say
they're incapable of seeing it, that they are
well,
incapable.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they're all getting ready to have their boosters. And they're like,
well, the government's
treble
vax. Yeah,
they're pushing
And they're saying new variants. Well, I just don't trust this anymore.
No, no. And I mean, you know, I was poorly, but because we watched the videos of what was going on in China, I thought that if you had it, you would literally drop down and die. So when I had the symptoms, flu symptoms, I might add, I had a few days, I felt really rough. And I've never had the experience before of having like an elephant sit on my chest. That was uncomfortable. And I've never had that before. But lots of people that get chest infections and asthma and stuff, that's how they experience it. So lots of people will still say that actually COVID has not been, what's the name for it? Identified. It's not actually been, the virus hasn't been isolated. That's what they say.
I think it's been isolated in a number of variants as well. My first job as a lad was in the Medical Research Council. And if I told you what some of the professors got up to in those days, they'd be cycling around London with virulent viruses in test tubes in their back pockets.
Yeah.
So really, you know, the government claim lots of things. Most of it is lies. They say what they think we want to hear.
Yeah. And there's so many people, they do hang on. I can remember my ex-mother-in-law and I said, do you really believe that the government's got your best interest at heart? And she said, of course I do. And I was just like, but because I think I've been awake for quite a long time and I've always been very anti-establishment and the opposite. I can't help it. People probably think I'm just a pain in the ass. If they think that, I'm going to think the opposite.
Well, I'm inclined to do that. We mustn't forget, I mean, I don't want to nominate or let drop any of the people in the group with me, but there's one lady, she had five members of her family drop dead on the same day from the vaccine. Now, you know, fancy coping with that emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, I know that it's seriously affected me. My daughter had to have counselling. I'm a tough cookie. I do my grieving quietly on my own, at which point I feel kind of like slightly sad, but I am tough, and I need to be.
Yeah,
I'm going to fight, and I'm looking for any information, you know, anybody who thinks maybe they actually come under this. If they can communicate with me, I'd be delighted, not just to help them, but to steer them in the right direction. And it isn't just the bereaved group. I'm with the bereaved group, but there is another group for people who've been seriously damaged by the COVID vaccine. A lot of people didn't die from it. They actually, there was a lot of people with brain damage.
There's a lot of people now with these cancers, and people are saying that this is stemmed. They call it what, a turbo cancer, don't they? That this was going to happen from the jab. And the amount of people I know that seriously now, they're like, I would never have another one. My heart, my health has never been the same since.
There's a scary video out that came out of Germany the other day, which said, if you've had the vaccine, you're going to die. Not now, not tomorrow, maybe 3 to 5 years' time, you're going to die.
But, and that's what's frightening as well. And I don't share anything like that anymore, because like I said, my, you know, I've got close family members that have had it. And possibly, we don't know the percentage. I do believe there was probably a placebo in lots of them. But we're not going to know. But we do. I think it was, you know, when somebody was saying about getting it, I was looking at all the effects and everything like that. And I said, well, if I was forced to, I would have chose the Moderna because that seemed to have less side effects. And is it right? AstraZeneca have, you know, they're the ones that's been taken off the market now because one of them
that's
has,
the ones my son had, AstraZeneca. He had his last one in March 21. In April 21, the government pulled it for young people.
I've got a guy, I don't want to say the name, the dancers, really, I know you're listening and you're there. Bear in mind that we are on English radio and we have got to be careful what we talk about. If you would like to come in and have a quick chat, say something, please do, but just remember our freedom of speech and stuff is very different than yours, because I wouldn't even like to read what you just typed in the private chat. But I understand where you're coming from. So, if you want to come say a few words, please do so. So, yes, it's hard. And I mean, it's compensation for those and what percentage, you know, were placebos and stuff. And what can people do? I know, oh, that person's suddenly disappeared. They don't want to chat. you know, I know a homeopath that has dealt with so many cases of stripping the metal out, detoxing your body from the metal. And I just would advise everybody that has had these jabs to go and have a detox process. You know, I don't know how valuable it is, but I would be trying to do anything.
I don't know if you're aware, there's a whole new movement where people can sell unvaccinated blood and unvaccinated semen.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. Yes, I didn't. And I've got a friend who's very, and it's interesting because I'm okay, I know my partner's not vaccinated, but when we talk about, she's single and like she meets somebody and she said literally the first question I really need to ask is, have you been vaccinated? Because lots of people as well believe that when somebody's just, you know, vaccines do shed, that is a well-known fact. I've kept my son home from school on days when they've done vaccinations. But, would you want, well, you know, when my daughter got pregnant, I was concerned about that. Her and her partner, they've both been vaccinated. Fingers crossed, everything's fine. And God help me, you can only hope. But, and unvaccinated semen, it's... I get it.
That isn't what we should be thinking when we are vaccinated. We shouldn't be thinking, God help them, I hope it's okay. Is it? That's not the way we should be approaching it. We should be approaching it with confidence and knowing that it's a safe product and it's been, what's in it is is not unpleasant, because some of the vaccines have some pretty unpleasant stuff in it, not least mercury.
Well, this is it. And, you know, I made this decision. I followed a doctor back in the day and I went to have a talk because my ex was very much, he wanted to get him vaccinated. And then when a doctor turned around and said, oh, this is my discoveries and research, he was like, no, we're not vaccinating. But it takes someone like that to stop the people. Now, at the time, I was with everybody else. I was out on roundabouts with signs, don't take the jab. And everybody that did, I used to say, take that information pack home with you, read what's in it. Problem is, we're too trusting. We've all, you know, I took my eldest children. It's like 6 weeks' time, take them to get jabbed. And fortunately, now my daughter's not jabbed her children. It's like we've trusted for so long in the government and the NHS that you do... you know, you do what they advise, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that has diminished considerably. That the statistics I was reading today was that 16% of the population now no longer trust vaccines. I would say 60% of the population now no longer trust politicians.
Well, this is it. I know we had a brief conversation about that the other day on the phone, and they're kicking off like with the measles vaccinations everywhere, because everybody now, they're like, well, actually, no, I'm not going to risk it.
Doesn't look like that guy wants to speak. Okay, I just realised.
I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but they're more than welcome to if they wanted to. And
yeah, the dancing Israeli.
Yes, yes. Well, I don't know if you know that person, but
no, I don't. I don't. No. Just, you know, it's a subject that really, as I said at the beginning, it really upsets some people. They get very angry about it, and I've heard such rubbish. It was the other day, somebody said to me, well, of course it's been tested. It's been tested by millions of people, referring to everybody that's been vaccinated. Well, so I read up on the vaccine tests today, and they did a special exemption on the COVID vaccine. That they bypassed all the testing that they normally have to insist on, and they bypassed it and they gave it a free hand. I'm not sure what the time was, but it wasn't a hell of a long time. Not like 4 years apparently is the normal length of time.
You can't create a vaccine in 6 months or what have you.
Well, of course, the argument from them is that they created it 20 years earlier and that they were only needed to do a little few refinements. I'm not sure I believe that.
No. Well, I think a lot of it's been planned. I would like to hear what the dancing Israeli has to say. So we'll bring you on for a few minutes, dancing Israeli. And yes, we are in the UK, so just be careful what you say, please. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Sorry, time zone's different here. I come from the United States.
Hello. Welcome. Just like I say, so, our freedom of speech is very different. But you can see,
So talking about the vaccines, we had that kind of issue here in America where we were forced to wear masks. And I felt like the whole thing was just a hoax for our population to just get controlled. Like our president Biden, like China's doing everything they can. They're using him like a puppet to, you know, to spy on us. That's the whole point of these vaccines.
Well, I did kind of dwell on that very slightly, didn't I?
Well, people have said that they've got, like, they could be, you know, the stuff that's inside us can cause all these things. And I was even heard something the other day, and I mean, you could call it massive conspiracy, but what did they put in them to, like, make the future different, so to speak? And, you know, will they react to G5 and not G5? Is it, what do you call it?
G5, but it's the DNA that concerns me.
Yes.
From what I heard, what they put in those vaccines is some kind of metal. Everybody that's been getting them, I've seen footage of where they've been winding up at a hospital. There have been people getting sick. There have even been some deaths occurring. And the COVID jab, it's not helping anybody. All it is a cold.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you hear of someone, I mean, you may not be aware that my son died from it.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Yeah, on the AstraZeneca, but it's partly why I'm fighting, because I believe that he should get justice, despite the fact that he's dead. I think he's been badly treated by the authorities, and I want to make them pay. At the very least, by bringing them out into the open and making them apologise.
You and lots of other people's, yeah. And regarding your first comment, dancing Israel, you can mention what you say, because I find it interesting what you did say. But if we can just, like, I don't know, keep it tame, because I know exactly where you're coming from. about who created COVID-19 and stuff like that. That's if you feel
comfortable. But due to where you live at, I'd rather not mention it because it could get you guys into legal trouble, so I'm caring for your well-being.
All right, okay, my lovely. I get that, yeah. We'll perhaps have another chat about
it. All right, I'll let Shelley do that, but frankly, I'd kick my government up the arse.
Yeah. So, I'll say that Chewy Wise is not a Jew. It's just a character based off a horror movie.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
See, just for legal reasons.
Right, no, that's okay. I'm particularly fearful because my father got sent to prison for 18 months for hate speech for discussing that subject.
I'd so welcome them trying to do that to me.
Well, you can talk about this, but for that one, no. There's no point in going there. Yeah.
It's an interesting story, my son. I mean, I worked in Papua New Guinea. His mother, who I married, I didn't know she was pregnant when I married her. And my son was born, but he wasn't my son, but I adopted him and I adored him. And I feel like in some ways I brought him to England to die, which is really not a nice thing to think, is it?
No, but then I think on the other hand, you've got to be so proud of yourself. You brought up somebody else's child as your own, and it's not blood. It's not blood. No, it's you gave him a wonderful life. You know,
I adored him.
Yeah, of course you did. Of course you did.
He was my big black boy.
Yeah.
Oh. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, moving on. Well, Dewey Wise, the thing. I'll let you go, my lovely. Thank you for coming on, and perhaps at another time we'll have a good chat about that subject.
Thanks. Thanks, God bless.
Thank you. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I do like it when people pop in, and just it's nice to see you've got people listening from different places as well. Yeah, I mean, this has affected so many people. And I mean, like you say, the doctors, I know you're friendly with Dr. David Cartland, and I think you go to Stand in the Park regularly with him. And I interviewed him probably a couple of years ago now when he first came out. And, you know, he's lost his job over this.
Yeah, I think he's really suffering at the moment.
Yeah.
He's been well vilified and he's having a really hard time. I make a point of messaging him from day to day just to keep him on the up, because it's a bad place to be. You know, he's put himself out on a limb and somebody's chopped the limb off with him sitting on it. I did post up on my Facebook site Dr. Claire Craig. She's looking at it very thoroughly. And you must have come across Dr. Campbell. He's done innumerable posts, videos on YouTube about it. And then there's Hugh Grant, but some people think Hugh Grant's a bit of a waste of time. So
it is. I've been watching several things, and you've probably seen as well the Undertaker, Dr. Looney. Not doctor, he's not a doctor. John O'Looney. And there was a video that went viral last week where he phoned the police.
Did you see it?
And
it was about our group.
Right, okay. Well, he phoned the police and he was on the phone for 10 minutes and said he's got a criminal offence to report. And he read through everything.
Everything.
Yeah. And the policeman at the end was kind of like, yes, we'll look into it. They're not going to do anything, you know? But he's been, and he was one of the first funeral directors that came out saying about all of the deaths after the vaccines. And I also interviewed a guy, I can't remember his name, but he was an undertaker as well. And he was saying that he's never in his life seen so many babies for burial, so many mothers that lost their babies after having the COVID jab. And you know, they were pushing it on people that were even in labour. You know, you need to have your COVID jab and everything like that. You haven't had it yet. It's just a shit show, really. And I think some of these people, when they see it now, do they not realise, you know, they've been part of a massive, well, what would you call it? Genocide, really. It's genocide.
It's very difficult to argue against the 37 million that have survived and the 3 million that have died, because if that's true, then the 3 million dead are, I guess, acceptable in the government's eyes. They're not in the eyes of the relatives of the people who had to experience that. Nothing makes that right.
No, no.
But what I'm finding so infuriating is yet again the government hiding the truth, not having the guts to stand up and say, well, we made a mistake, or this was wrong, we didn't get it right. They're trying to cover it up with the inquiries into COVID, but they're not talking about the things that really matter. It's another cover-up. And the prime example of cover-ups is the post office, where they lied and lied at 25 years.
Oh, that's awful.
I'm 84. Damned if I'm going to wait 25 years.
Yeah, I don't think you will, Tony, because I know what you're like.
Well, I'm the same as you. You know, I hate injustice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been an activist in three different areas in my life, and I've realised what a lying load of tow rags they are.
And for some of you listeners out there who have just tuned in, Philip Anthony Bevington, aka Tony, we're discussing the elephant in the room tonight. His 30-year-old son collapsed. He believes it's down to the COVID. I shouldn't say that word because it's going on YouTube. They probably won't play this interview. And actually, Tony, when I last had you on a few years ago, they deleted that video. And it wasn't about it then. Yeah, it was another guest after you as well, talking about 5G and things like that, Mark Steele. But they deleted so many of my videos, so I stopped using it. And lately, it seems we're allowed a little bit more leeway, but we'll see. I probably should have used a different word. But yeah, Tony was on my show a few years ago because Tony got arrested for selling vast amounts of cannabis. For growing. Oh yeah, you weren't a dealer, you was a grower.
Yeah,
for medicinal purposes.
Absolutely, and I'm still using for medicinal purposes.
Yeah.
I'd be dead without it.
Right, so it really helps, yeah.
And I know from that the law is an ass, and everything that the government does, I know, are lies. I know when they're lying, and they're lying around COVID and the vaccines that the people, the general population, believe.
Oh, yeah, because we're all nut jobs. We're all nut jobs.
Well, we're brainwashed. We're indoctrinated.
And it makes you think, why is it that people like yourself and me, we can see the other side? But then prior to, you know, the horrendous death of your son, you believed, and it took that to make you see that side of the medical profession was bullshit, horrendously. So you've been lied to, really, you say, your whole life. Like, yeah, we all have about so many things.
Yes, it wasn't all that long ago. My daughter had the HPV virus vaccine.
Right.
Now I look back and I think, God, what have I done, you know?
Yeah, but you did your best as a parent because you thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I think everybody, you know, that used to be a really big thing, like anti-vaxxers now, and I don't tend to get into much conversation about it anymore because there was a time, and you know, like the Flogget sites on Facebook, I would post it on one of those, like vaccine injuries at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and my phone would be pinging all night, and then they'd remove the post and stuff, and they'd be like, we know where you work, Shelley Tasker. But I just couldn't stop myself. And even now,
I'm not going to get that from this, but
no, not at all. I think people these days, I always say, make an informed decision. And I find it hard when I do newborn photography and people come in and they say, oh, they're having their jabs tomorrow. And I just say, oh, okay. And I kind of say, like, you do realise that, you know, you can hold off. You don't have to do it tomorrow. And I don't, you know, I don't want to put them off ever coming back to me and getting on my high horse, because there's probably been times I've gone off on one a bit and they probably thought, she's a right nutter, isn't she? But then I think, oh, if that just saves the baby.
But it isn't being crazy. Yeah. It isn't being a nutter. It's being logical.
Yeah.
We've got to the point now where we can be very logical about this and fairly concentrated on the essential points. The reality is that 37 million people have possibly been saved. I don't know. Maybe they've been saved something worse in the future. Who knows?
I don't believe they've been saved. I believe, well, anything, you know, it could be a time bomb, and that's what I'm frightening.
Maybe they've been saved for something worse in a year or two.
And I think it's Professor Dolores Cahill who said that, you know, we haven't seen the end of this yet. From the first round of jabs, you know. She reckons up to 5 years this could, you know, and that's the frightening thing, you know, with a heart attack and something like that. It just happens, doesn't it?
It's only when you get somebody brave enough, like the German minister who stood up a couple of days ago and said that the pandemic was not a pandemic at all, that you realise you are on the right path. It gives you the faith to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, I read some of the stuff the government put out and I think, am I on the wrong path? Perhaps he died of something else, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to know entirely, but I always think there's no such thing as coincidence, is it? And like you say, that there's too many people. I've seen video compilations of like one football season, all the players dropping down dead, you know, and young people. And I know, you know, like my next door neighbour, she was a young woman, bless her. And the same day she had a jab, she was rushed to hospital. You know, it doesn't take a scientist. And even the ambulance man said, have you had a COVID jab? And she said, yeah, I've had it today, you know. And they must have seen so much. But then I think it's got to keep happening in time for them. If they can't see it, then they've been so brainwashed it's untrue.
Yeah. It so stunned me and the family that we couldn't do anything for months and months and months.
No, what a shock.
You know, and then there's all the other stuff. Actually, I mean, on a personal note, all his mates got together and gave me a present of £4,000 for the funeral.
Wow.
Which is very touching and amazingly emotional, but I'd rather they didn't have had to do it, you know.
Well, but that's life again, isn't it? It's the cost of everything, and who would think that, well, such... I actually heard yesterday somebody telling me that when you... when somebody dies and you're taking them to their funeral, you have to pay through every parish you drive through. Now, I don't know if that's right or not. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, my wife, many years ago, died in Freedom Fields in Plymouth, and they wanted £600 to bring her across the border, and I nearly killed somebody. I just said, stick her in the back of my car and I'll bring her across, and don't you come near me.
Yeah, yeah. But they've just got to profit in any way, shape or form they can, really, can't they? Well, I mean, at the moment, we're just, I don't know. I don't know what people are going to do, really. It's frightening.
You just pulled my favourite expression. The Tories' God is money.
I know we touched upon this the other day quickly because you said to me, when are you going to have someone on your show who's going to talk about the upcoming elections? And I said, this is the first year ever... I don't think I'm going to vote, because at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, whoever gets in is still going to be controlled by the puppets at the top. But then I also don't like the feeling that I'm wasting a vote. And what's the chance, the tiniest chance of change?
I want a radical change, something very different. We've had enough of the same, of the same, of the same. The silly idiots, they say the same thing. Each one of them, Labour, Tory, Lib Dem. They all say the same thing and they never do anything about it. It's the same old story all the time. Let's be a bit dramatic. The only dramatic thing that's ever happened in politics, really, was the invention of the National Health Service. And I was alive when it happened. And that was dramatic and revolutionary. And we've had nothing really interesting ever since. I want to see planning laws change. A citizens' assembly, people paid according to the value of their job they do, so that I'd pay a street cleaner more than an MP.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the sort of changes I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see the planning laws change so people who want to live in a shed in a field and grow veg for themselves can do so. They've not got some puffed up little planning officer saying, oh no, it doesn't fit in with the scheme of things.
I want the councils gone. That's what I want. I want us to live in our own little, you know, like my town, our town. Let's have our own town.
Everybody, stop paying your bloody water bills until they stop polluting.
Yeah, but the problem is, and this is it as well, because, like, I know that. I stopped paying council tax last year, and then I got the EBGBs, and I thought, actually, do you know what? I can't cope with this. Choose your battles, everybody says. And I really couldn't cope with the point of a bailiff knocking up on my door, mainly because I've got a child here, okay? And if I'm out walking the dog, and the child would probably say, come on in, mummy's out walking the dog, you know? I can't, but at some point, I probably will go down that path, and it's no different, really, than not paying your TV licence. I haven't paid that for over 10 years. That doesn't bother me at all. If somebody was to turn up here, and they wouldn't now because I haven't paid it for so long, but it's got to be like that with your council tax and other bills. And, you know, like the whole electric thing, I know of people that get free electricity. Well, it should be free. You know, it was created free as free energy, and it's just the companies around that are the agents for it, so to speak. So when you change your supplier and then, say, a different company take over, they just take over that box. So it doesn't matter. But, and I was saying to somebody, the problem is with that, I fear, they will class that as stealing and you will go to prison. And it's like she said to me, but that's because if you attend their court, you're entering their system. And the key is you have to be hard as nails, tough as shit, to ignore all of that. And you are let her bin it, you know?
Yeah,
I
find people in this country too acquiescent. They're just quite happy to accept what's being told to them. They don't question it. They just get on and let it happen. And that's got to stop, because it's been used against them now for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't... Yeah. We kind of diverted off, didn't we?
Well, we did, yeah, but that's what I like...
I've really covered most of the subject of this. There are a lot of people out there who are fighting the same battle as me, and I wanted people out there to be aware that there are these people, because they need all the support they can get.
Yeah.
And daily I hear them really concerned and worried, you know, what am I going to do? I've got a husband who's unable to speak, talk, move, do anything, and no one's helping, and I want justice.
So, I mean, what would you say to these people? How do they get in touch with you, Tony?
Well, on my Facebook page, you're Philip Bevington.
Philip Bevington, or are you Tony Bevington on your Facebook? I'm so confused.
Tony, because Philip's such a snobby.
Tony Bevington.
I'm Philip Bevington on Facebook, because some bugger hacked me as Tony Bevington, and I had to drop that side. That's all.
Okay. And what about those that don't have Facebook? Would it be okay to read your email address out?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. That'd be fine.
So it's Philip Anthony Bevington, and no H in Anthony. It's Anthony, not Anthony.
One L in Philip, no H in Anthony, and gmail.com.
@gmail.com, and if anybody wants that and they can't remember that, just please leave me a message.
Prefer not to be totally insulted, although I've no
doubt. Don't think anybody could be bothered to waste their time for it. It's funny, because a couple of years ago, this sort of interview, well, actually probably 4 years ago, this sort of interview would have sparked so much controversy, because there'd be all those, like, you know, damning people like us. But now I think there are a lot of people, they may not say a lot, but they wouldn't have any more. Lots of people I know, even my nan, you know, she's 99 now, and I mean, you know, she is in a nursing home, but she even said later on, she said, I'm not having any more. No. I mean, I don't have flu jabs or anything, but then you get the guilt trip. I used to work in the hospital.
Well, they're turning the flu jab mRNA as well, so anything a DNA, I'm running a mile from.
Yeah, well, I just think, you know, jabs aren't what they used to be when I was younger. I mean, my mum says that she felt guilty because I didn't have the measles jab and I did get measles. And I was quite poorly with it. But then by the time the spots come out, you've gone through the virus. You're on the healing stage, really, the same as chickenpox.
Yeah, but I was born in 1940 and we didn't even have antibiotics when I was born.
Wow.
You know, I've seen so many changes, and I'm quite proud that I've actually flowed well with the changes. I haven't been resistant to them. I'm very open-minded.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's my parents' upbringing, but I'm very open-minded to new ideas.
Yeah.
Although I don't go much on the new transgender stuff.
You and many others, yeah.
Well, I've got a nephew who trans, and I'm having great difficulty with it.
A grandson.
Nephew.
Grandson. How old is he, Tony?
32.
He's not that old, is he?
Yeah, he's 32.
Has he started the trans?
Yeah. But I just, you know, I believe in treating people as civilized human beings. So what he's chosen is his right. My whole ethics in life is freedom of choice.
Yeah.
The right for people to make their own choices as long as they hurt nobody else.
And I do believe that some people genuinely are, very few, but genuinely are born in the wrong body. They are.
Totally.
But I interviewed a guy called Tarquin probably a couple of years ago, and come to find how he had body dysmorphia. And he was brought up, his parents were quite party goers and stuff and lived the high life. From the age of 3, he used to go to lots of parties where there were drag queens and stuff like that. Now, for a 3-year-old, you see, this was the first sight of, like, men dressing as women and stuff. And, of course, he became very confused when he was growing up. It confused the hell out of him. And he went through all the motions. He had his penis removed, started all the therapy and everything like that. And even when he changed into a woman, he wasn't happy. So he changed back again. And lots of people changed back. And it's like he said to me, he said, every time I go out and I need a public toilet, I need to go and sit down on a toilet. It's with me for life. I can't change back again now. Once you've lost your penis, I mean, I suppose they could do something with it. I was actually curious the other night and I said to my other half, how do they make it into like the opposite? And I did search for a few videos. I thought if anyone was going through the content of my phone history, but it was interesting to watch. But even though they can make it look like a penis or a vagina, surely they can't work like one.
No.
So I should ask somebody else this. I need to know.
Well, I as a paramedic, I actually went to someone who had it chopped off.
Right, okay.
In a fight.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, I've seen it.
lovely topic,
that is
isn't it?
One of the reasons that I am so strong and so able to survive my son dying. I really wanted to die myself at times.
Bless you, I bet you did.
I'm a very strong person and I've got very strong morals and ethics. I'm not religious, I'm a humanist and a pacifist, but I believe that all human beings have a right to be heard.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons that I don't like this government, because it doesn't listen.
No. They know what's going to happen before it does. Excuse me. You know, when Sadiq Khan first came in, I started Googling him straight away, and you see who his contacts are and how much money his wife's got and everything like that. He's like the richest man in this country. I think he's got more money than the prince, the king. Excuse me, I may be wrong there, but...
Yeah. Well, we'll stay clear of the king, because I'm not a monarchist either.
No, well, nor am I. No.
I've got people in front of me, and I either like them or I don't like them, and it's got nothing to do with their sex. It's how
you
they...
You can tell, yeah.
It's how they project to me. And so someone who says something that's cruel, I'm really not going to like them.
No, because I don't
blame
you.
Because I think cruelty is really unnecessary.
Yeah, I think you're
and
right.
We could take that on to what's happening in Palestine at the moment, because that's so cruel that it's unbelievable.
It is, and that's a whole different subject that I want to get somebody else on about as well. Because again, with that, it's like if you support Palestine, that must mean you support Hamas. No, actually, it doesn't.
I don't support any terrorists. I don't support any mass murders. I don't support any genocide. And I don't support war. So I'm a bit of a misfit in this country because we love war because it makes lots of money for rich people.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I'm just saying we've got another minute or so, Tony.
Well, we certainly covered some subjects. Wow.
We did. Yes, and sorry, in the chat here, the Jolly Man, I haven't had a chance. I don't understand we were little bits and they sound really interesting. We haven't got round to it. And Wally Tron Channel 101, hello. And all of you guys listening, thanks for listening. After this show tonight on Speak Free Radio, myself and Malefica Scott will be live with the Kerno Connection. That show is where we just have a little bit of chat and have a little Kerno topic of conversation each week, just a bit of easy listening. So that's straight after this show, but that's on speakfreeradio.com. So as of that, yeah, we are coming to the end. I'm just going to wait for some music to come in. But, I really enjoyed chatting to you, Tony, and I appreciate it's past your bedtime. Yeah.
I've got to take my medicine first.
Right. Oh, yeah, make sure you do and you get a good night's sleep. And, you know, I messaged Indica and I'm like, I can't get a hold of Tony. Where is he? He's like, he's usually in bed by now. I'm like, he knows we're doing a show. Anyway, we made it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Tony. We'll do it again soon. Have a great week, guys. And stay tuned, like I say, for the Kerno Connection, which is...